really quickly with our church on before we get into the sermon today. First of all, keep praying for Carter. I know some of us walked in after that announcement had been made. Carter McClendon was going to be leading worship today, and at 8 a.m. he texted and said he was stretching and something went wrong in his knee. I don't know which one. Carter, we are praying for you. We're going to pray for him in just a minute, but please be praying. That does not sound pleasant, just quite frankly. So we are praying for you. We'll pray for you in just a second. I was also made aware, for those of us that are needing this, or maybe it would just be useful for some people, we have had a wheelchair donated to our church. Dean, I was told that you have given us a wheelchair, and we are very, very grateful. It's in the back in the library by the mailboxes, so thank you for that. I know that some of our community will be blessed by that, and if you don't want to walk, if that is a difficulty for you, but you would like to come to church, that is something available now. Thank you for your generosity, and we trust it will be used well. Let's pray real quick, and let's ask God to bless that gift and bless Carter and bless us this morning. God, I feel like I say it every Sunday, but it remains true. You are good. You give good gifts. You are the best gift. We are grateful for you. We are grateful for good things, for having a wheelchair now that people can use. We pray that its ministry would be blessed and that you would bless the hands that have provided it as well. We pray also this morning, God, for Carter, that you would help him with what is going on with his knee. We're not quite sure. We don't fully understand, and he may not either, but we ask and we pray for your blessing over him, that he would get relief from pain and that he would be able to be well. We pray for health there. We ask this morning for you to be with us, that you would guide us, empower us as we take a look into your scriptures. May the words that I say, that others share this morning, be of you and for you and for your purposes in our world. May we encounter you here today. In Jesus' name, amen. I also want to thank you guys. It is good to be back in Kansas. There were so many announcements last week that Pastor Susan and I forgot to mention that the latter part of this week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we were down in Oklahoma City for a Southern District Pastors Conference. We got together with a lot of good people there. And the main speaker, the person that our denomination invited to come in, his name is Steve Cuss. That is his last name. He's Australian. And so he told us it was a fitting last name for Australians if we speak, generalize, he thought he had a funny last name for an Australian. But he was talking mostly about anxiety. That was his subject. That was his focus, what he wanted to talk about. And he is a preacher. He just turned over preaching duties at his home church last year, but he is a pastor of a local congregation in Denver, I think, is where he serves. And he said for the first many years of preaching, how anxiety exhibited itself in his life is he would apologize for his sermon before preaching it every time, without fail. I'm sorry. That was just his habit. And so given that I learned many things from him this week, I'm going to try this on for myself. I don't feel like I'm being particularly anxious, but I just want to say, in his words and now mine as well, if you knew the kind of week I had, you would understand more fully what's about to happen to both of us over the next few minutes. I jest. It was a wonderful time. It was beautiful, and it was meaningful, and we're grateful to be part of a denomination that cares for its pastors, puts things on, and helps us grow and connect. Of all things, first of all, Pastor Susan, Robert, and I were all able to head down. It was a good time connecting with our larger denomination, other pastors learning things. I got to meet somebody that I went to elementary school and junior high with in Guthrie, Oklahoma, who is now pastoring an MB church, of all things, which is kind of a really weird connection to make because we had no connection to church world there in junior high together. But crazy things, and it is good. It was good and will continue to be, I trust. But I digress. Let's move on to the sermon. And I want to ask, is anyone in our church a runner? Anybody a runner? Rick, God bless you. I was gonna make a joke about craziness. You are not, but I personally think. I'm sorry, Rick. I personally think, and you're a better man than I for running. I personally think this is crazy. Why would you do that to yourself? Why would you run? You know, other than the health benefits and the endorphins being released and fresh air and being out in nature and all of those normal things. Why would you do that? But our faith tradition has a long, long tradition of running. So you are in wonderful company. We can't put this on for our friends that are online because of copyright things, but there are so many examples in our faith about running. Elijah, the prophet Elijah, racing down the mountain in front of the chariots of King Ahab. You have in the New Testament, the prodigal son that ran to his father, or not, he didn't run to his father. His father saw him walking from a ways off, and his father ran to him, this son that was returning. Even in Paul's letters, it talks about running. In Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. This is kind of a summary of a chapter or a passage in Isaiah. It's kind of a more condensed version. But that passage in Isaiah talks about how blessed are the feet that are running on the mountains to deliver the good news. This whole idea with running is that people have good news and they can't wait to share it. They cannot wait to share the good news. I mean, think about the father and the prodigal son, that story where the son has done terrible things, he's taken his inheritance, he's left his father behind, becomes poor and destitute in a foreign land, and says, you know what, I'm going to go back to my father and beg to become a servant. His father sees him from a ways off and runs to him, just books it towards him. And if we think about that, from a practical perspective, it would not have made a ton of difference if he had walked towards his son. Like, the amount of time that running that distance saves, it doesn't save a ton of time. He could have even, you know, done one of those speed walking things and gotten there quickly, but he had to run because he had to get there fast because he wanted to see his son because there was someone he wanted to share life with. The people in these passages, they had to run because they just wanted to share whatever news, whatever experience they had to get there so that they could share with others. They had to get there as fast as they could. They could not wait. We are going to be in another passage like that this morning. So we're going to talk about some people with some really great news, and with the best news. We're right after Easter, and so we are going to be in one of those post-Easter passages in the gospel. I'm going to invite you, if you want to grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be in there. I'm going to start in verse 7. This whole passage happens after Easter, and if you want to read the majority of it, that would be a good and wonderful thing. I'm just going to focus on verses 7 through 10. But Mary Magdalene and Mary, another Mary, this is likely the mother of Jesus because she's the only other Mary that's mentioned in the buildup here. So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, likely Jesus' mom, went to visit the tomb. And it was sealed up, it was guarded, and then there was an earthquake and an angel appeared and the stone rolled away. And the angel starts talking to these two women. So I'm going to go there. We're going to start in verse 7. This is the angel speaking to these women after he has told them, he is not here, he is risen. The angel says, and now go quickly. Tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee. They will see me there." These women ran. Mary and the other mother, and the other Mary ran. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus. I want to ask, you ever been out for a stroll? Maybe it's on a summer, and you're in flip flops, and then all of a sudden, for some reason, you got to book it. Maybe the dog runs off the leash, or maybe your kid runs off the leash. Or kids have leashes, right? Do they come with that? I know some do. It's a good thing, I know. But all of a sudden, you're in footwear that is not explicitly designed for fast movement, and all of a sudden, you got to book it. You got to move. These are not that dissimilar from ancient footwear that people would have been using. And tell me, Kaylin, these aren't they're not crazy. You wouldn't want to wear that at a track meet, right? No? Please don't put them on. But they are not the most comfortable. They're not designed for that purpose. They're not designed to run. And the rest of these women's attire, they were here for a funeral rite. This is somebody in dress clothes breaking out for a run, and these are two women in ancient Near East dress clothes in all likelihood. Like, this is their garb to take care of the body. Ancient Near East women's fashion was not built for aerodynamics and ease of movement with their sprinting form. That is not how it worked. And as a reminder, one of these women was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Jesus, who was a 33-year-old man at the time of his death, she could have been a grandma. Like, she is potentially could have been a grandma. And she ran because of the other Mary Magdalene was filled with such excitement, such joy, such fear, we're told. They were terrified but excited. And who knows what other emotions, but they ran because they had to share the good news. They had to share the good news. They needed to get this news out. And Jesus interrupted their run. Jesus appeared to them after they had started their run to the disciples, and they ran to him. Did you notice that? They ran again over to him in this passage, worshipped him. He told them, go do this. And we're left at the end of the passage assuming that as soon as Jesus left, they are booking it once more. They were running because they had news to tell. They had to race to get this word out, to give this news, the best news, to the disciples, that Jesus was not dead, he was alive, that death could not hold him down, that Jesus, he is Lord, he is the Messiah, he is the Christ, and that we are freed from sin to eternal life when we follow him. That is the news that they were going to share. When Caitlin and I were in Fresno, we had our sunrise services not on site. We have a beautiful lawn here. God willing, if Easter happens earlier next year, we might get back to sunrise service. But sunrise this year at 6:46 in the morning, it was going to be a lot. maybe next year it'll be a little bit better. We'll see what that looks like. But for sunrise services that we had in Fresno, the North Fresno Church, which we came from, was in the heart of the city. There wouldn't have been a great place to have it there. And so there was somebody who had property kind of on the edges of town, and they would let us come out to their house and host a sunrise service in their lawn. They were about 6 or 7 miles away from the church. And there was a family who we are good friends with. His wife is actually graduating with you in your master's class and not the distant future, right? Randy? Am I mixing people? Yep, I'm mixing people. Never mind. I'm mixing people. It's been a while. But there was this man who lived near the church. He lived a couple of blocks away from the church, and he would run the 6 to 7 miles for sunrise. He would run out there for the sunrise service which happened at sunrise. So he would be booking it in the dark for these 6 or 7 miles to get out to this place. That was his way of connecting with this story, his way of reliving this scripture, this ancient Easter 10K that the scriptures tell us about. Now, I am not telling us to all go running. First off, I don't hate myself enough to make myself run, and I like you more than I like me, so I'm not going to make you do that. The purpose is not for us all to become runners, but it's worth asking, are we racing to tell people the good news about Jesus? Are we racing to tell people what Jesus has done in our lives? Are we as frightened and excited and perplexed and confused and motivated as these women were that Easter morning just a little under 2,000 years ago? And maybe even more pressing, this can tell us a lot, do we believe that the good news about Jesus is worth sharing, is worth racing to share? Do we believe that? Because I do. I believe that. That is what I am building my life around. That is what K and D are building their lives around. That is what our church, as a church community, that is what we are trying to build our lives around, because Jesus is worth sharing. Now, this is not me telling us all to go out on Wanamaker and become a street preacher. We'll sign up sheet in the back, hour-long shifts. No, that's not what we're talking about. I tend to think that in the majority of situations, street preaching is probably not the most effective use of me or many of us. There are situations where that might work, and that might be a God movement. And if that is what God tells you to do, God bless you. Please go and share. But for most of us, we're not going to become street preachers. But if we're never sharing the gospel, and if we don't believe that ourselves, that the gospel is worth sharing, this might be because we just don't believe that it is good news. But friends, the Easter morning run that these women made, it was because they believed. It is because I believe. It is because I trust that we believe the gospel message is good news, that Jesus is alive, that if we follow him, we can be free from sin, that we can do good things for our world in Jesus' name to make our world a better place, that we can introduce others to Jesus, and that when our race is finally done, when it has come and gone, when we hit that finish line, we are swept up to eternal life, life into eternity with him. That is the good news, and that is good news for all of us. And that is good news for our world. I have to believe it. That is good news for our world that we need to share. Sometimes we as Christians, we sometimes add other things in to the gospel. We sometimes do that. And we might do that intentionally, unintentionally. That happens. I've observed it. Other people have observed it at various times. We We want to add things in like we need to convict people of their sin, or we need to teach, we need to change these people, or we need to get everybody to act a certain way, to do certain things, and then we have to do that as part of you don't have access to the gospel unless you've done all these other things. And I just want to say, that's not our job. That is not what we are called to do as Christians. That is God's job. It is God's job to convict people. And He's really good at it. If my life is any indication, the amount of times that God convicts me, God is very talented at that. He will convict people. If God is going to transform people, God is very talented at that. God has transformed my life. God has transformed the lives of people around here. God will do that. Our job as Christ followers is to race to tell people about Him. It is to run to tell people of the good news that is Jesus, that we can know Him in the here and now, that He will change us in the here and now, and that He will save us to life with Him eternally. We want to race and share that good news. And so now I want to share our stage with a couple of people that are racing to share that good news pretty far away from us here in Topeka, Kansas. But come on up, K and D. We will welcome you here. And you can share with us what you have been doing, what you have seen God at work with, and God bless you.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Yeah, we are K and D. We serve with Multiply in West Africa, and so we actually partner with a local organization there. That organization does a lot of humanitarian work, as we were sharing in Sunday school. There's a lot of physical needs in our country that our organization works to engage and share Jesus's love through humanitarian efforts. But all of that is unto discipleship and evangelization, and so that we do that work to send out evangelists and raise up disciples. And so that's who we work with. We serve in we call it capacity building roles, just to aid the local people, to build, you know, to support them in what they do, so that we can send them out to really do the main frontline work. And so we come in underneath to serve and to support what they're doing. And so, like why we're here this morning is we want to thank you guys for being a part of our team, the stuff that God is doing in West Africa. It's because of you, and you're partnering with us and with other missionaries around the world to bring God's kingdom to those who are not yet a part of it. And so we just want to thank you. We want to greet you from our church back home. They all say, when you visit churches, say hi from us. So we want to say hi from our friends back home as well.
Yeah, and we just want to share a little story of how the good news is shared and lived out in our context. So there's a young woman named Bishara that lives in our neighborhood. When she was in elementary school, she got really sick and missed a bunch of school. And when she was better, it was just too hard to catch up, and so she dropped out of school. One day, her neighbor, who is the pastor of our church and our ministry leader, he was talking to Bishara's dad about the sewing center that our ministry has in another city across the country. And this sewing center is specifically for economically challenged women and girls who have had to drop out of school for whatever reason. And so the father decided, after some time of thinking about it, that he wanted to send Bishara to this sewing center to learn and grow and develop a trade. And so because this center was in another city, Bishara went to live with the pastor, with the pastor's mother. And this is, so all connections with our ministry center, okay? So So this pastor's mother welcomes her into her home. She's a grandmother herself, elderly. And so over the months in this grandmother's home, Bishara observed her life and her dedication to Yahweh. And most importantly, her love towards her grandchildren, her children, and her guests. And Bishara saw how every morning grandma would wake up at 5 a.m. to go pray to this Jesus. And Bishara had always been taught that Jesus was a good man, but he was not God. But as she watched grandmother praying to Jesus and praying to Jesus for her needs, for Bishara's needs, Bishara started to see God answer her prayers. And she observed the love and peace in this home like she'd never seen or experienced before. And so one morning, Bishara decided she would wake up early with grandma and pray. And so grandma opens her eyes when she's done, and Bishara is kneeling there on the floor beside her. And she said, "Bishara, good morning." And Bishara said, "Yes, I've noticed that your God answers prayers. I've observed peace in your home. I've seen how you love me. And I want this God. I want to pray to this Jesus." And so Bishara started asking questions and learning more about what it meant to pray to Jesus and to love Jesus and to follow Jesus. And I don't know the end of this story. I don't know if she prayed to make Jesus her Lord and Savior, but she's on the way. And this is how the gospel is shared in our context. Street preachers would not work out there. They just don't. And so the gospel is lived out in the lives of the church and of the pastors and evangelists. And it's a beautiful example, a beautiful witness to us. Are we living the gospel? Is the gospel visible in our lives every day as we're buying groceries, as we're hanging out with kids, as we're greeting people on the street? Is the gospel visible? And so that's how our ministry lives out the gospel. It's how we try to live out the gospel. And I just pass that to you. Is the gospel visible in your lives, in your speech, in your day-to-day life with Jesus? So thank you again. It's been a blessing to be here with you this morning. And we look forward to sharing more stories as the years go by.
What I'd like to do now, we like to pray for our friends that are passing through, our missionaries, our workers, that you are doing work for God's kingdom, but we recognize that you are also, in some way, we get to play a small part of it by financially supporting and praying for you. And we want to do our part by praying for you right now, too. So if you would like to come up, if you want to lay hands, would someone be willing to come up and pray? Yeah, come on up. As many as would like, come on, stand down. And if someone wants to pray, I'll pass the mic off to them. We are praying for K and D.
Father, we just, as we're gathered here this morning, we just thank you for these two individuals who are willing to do and go where they are called by you. Yes. So as they're out there in the mission field, just help them to let you shine through in their lives, that they may plant seeds, yes, that may transform others' lives and bring them up to you. We just ask these things in your name. Amen.
Bless you both. And we're glad you're here. And we are glad to celebrate with you all you've done. So bless you and thank you. Real quick, before we head out, Jesse. There we go. Jesse, if you want to, John, if you could hand that mic to Jesse. She'll give us our announcements, and then we will go out and live out this gospel.
For the Topeka Rescue Mission, we'll be serving dinner on May 2nd, and it starts at 4:45, and we need 3 to 4 more people. So if you'd like to join, contact the office or Ruth Ann. The youth will be hosting the Underground Cafe on the 29th from 7 to 9, and everyone is welcome to join us for coffee, music, and fellowship. And then for ShareFest, this is the last week to sign up, and it's next Saturday from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. If you signed up, you get a shirt on site the morning of, and they're meeting at McEachran Elementary. Make sure you check in when you arrive with Christy. And then Christy is actually going to come up and talk about the photo directory.
Good morning, fellows. I just wanted to invite you guys after service. I am going to be back at the table signing up for pictures. There is a handout. If you want to do it yourself online, it's a really simple process. If you have, after you've signed up, if you have any questions or need to make changes, I can do that. So just contact the office. I will be in the office from 9 to noon, Monday through Friday. The pictures are going to be taken Monday, the 23rd of May, and Tuesday, the 24th of May. The time slots are from like 2 to 8 o'clock. So we have a wide variety of time available. Everybody will receive a free 8x10 access to the online directory. It's an app that you can download, so we'll have picture directory online. And then you'll also receive a physical directory as well. They will try to sell you additional photos if you are interested. You have that option. If you do not, just tell them that you'll pass, and they are not as aggressive as we've had in the past, as I understand. So tell them no, tell them no again, tell them no the third time, and then you'll be done. So just a little tidbit of information there. But I really do encourage you guys to get signed up. I will be here a little earlier next week. I apologize. I had a late night last night. Doing an event, another Spring Fling event. But I will be here next week in the morning, and then I'll be here after church as well until the 23rd. So get signed up. Don't wait so you can get your slot, and I'll see you soon.
Let me just pray over us really quickly that we would be people that go and share the good news that we have received, that we know from God. God Almighty, would you give us grace, strength, power, empowerment, encouragement? Would your Holy Spirit convict us even to share your gospel message? That you are Lord, that you live in us, that you empower us to live well now, to live the best we can now as we are serving you, and that you free us from sin and you free us to eternal life in you. God, would you help us as a church community to live this out? Would you help Kay and Dee as they live this out in West Africa? Would you help our friends, our families, our people we are connected to around the world? Would you help your church to live this out? And may we be one of them, a church that is racing to deliver this good news. Be with us, Lord, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Church family, may you race, whatever that means, speed walking, running, otherwise, but may you race to share the good news of Jesus. Blessings, go in peace.